You guys got any amazing ideas of what's going on, or think probably if we try, we'll still have the same problem? Okay. Let's move on. Sorry, Jonathan, you did a great job by hitting the target. Yeah, we'll show the video in there. And you see if somebody's going and somebody starts their video camera and sometimes it's meaningless. You should have had your video camera on that. That was a great summary of the call of the church as it relates to this issue. Thank you so much, Jonathan. Well, we're going to look at God's Word together. Isn't it great that we don't even need sound in the video to read Scripture? Proverbs 29:11. Wow, Pastor Bruce, just one verse today. Yeah, that's not like you, is it? This one verse in the context of embracing life wisdom from the Lord for handling our emotions, and of course, this rescuing, transforming power of the gospel. We want to hear Proverbs 29:11 today in that context and unpack and apply it to our lives as we begin a new series here. Here it is. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Human emotions such as anger have been compared to a pressure cooker. Where in your life, where in your family, where in your relationships is the pressure cooker building, 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 and then exploding, spreading emotional debris all over the place? Today we're beginning a series to try to help us avoid this with God's help. And there's the scripture, a fool gives full vent to his spirit. In various other translations, that word in the ESV translated spirit is translated anger, which is the most common of English translations. A fool just says, yeah, I'm going to let it out. Or the temper, or rage, or even feelings. It's a potentially a broader word. Just, yeah, when my feelings, there they go. Let the feelings go. The pressure cooker explodes. And of course, there are other unhealthy, unhelpful ways of dealing with emotion. Too much failure to admit your emotion is not good. And too much pride in how you control them all and manipulate people around them is not good, right? But all of us can recognize, like, oh, that's kind of an ugly thing when someone gives full vent to their anger. And of course, we're entering into this new series, and it's complicated. It's rather complex. Just to be angry is not sinful. We know this. Be angry and do not sin. The Lord himself, Jesus, was angry but never sinned. But our anger typically leads us into sinning. James 1:19-20 puts this well, right? The anger of man does not typically work the righteousness of God, because in our state of anger, we rarely do it well. Without God's help, we won't do it well. Emotions like fear and anger, of course, are normal and natural, a part of being made in God's image. And these emotions, there's a fact-based biological reality we cannot deny. When there's fear, when there's anger, there's something inside of us biologically that says fight, flight, or freeze, right? That's a real thing. It's not wrong. And sometimes it actually is a helpful thing. But given our pride, given self-protection, given our propensity to sort of give full vent to our feelings in some unhealthy way, unless we interrupt that process, we're going to move toward reactivity. We're going to move toward hitting, or verbal hitting, or defensiveness, or shutting down, or running away, right? All these kind of things. Like, that's not what Jesus wants. We know that, but maybe we might tend to deny it, blame somebody else, dig in, and keep doing these things. And that's what we're sort of getting at in this series. How do we, with God's help, control our responses respond in the way that's helpful and productive. And of course, that's complicated further by we've all got hurts and traumas and things we've experienced and patterns we've become accustomed to, and complicated further by now we're moving to that other person on the other side of the equation. And my reactive responses are probably pushing the buttons of their reactive responses, and their reactive responses are pushing the buttons of my reactive responses. And wow, this pressure cooker thing really is a mess with stuff exploding all over the place, right? Is it hopeless? No. It's not, because of God and the gospel. That's what we're going to be talking about as we begin this series today on emotions and family relationships. Handling emotions with and in the Lord's wisdom. And of course, this is my one message from the book of Proverbs in this message series. There's so much here. You want to read through the Proverbs, you can get a whole lot more out of them. We're going to talk, though, about how this applies to each of us, and it applies especially for parenting. I know we got a lot of young parents here at Trinity, and what a great opportunity and what a great challenge you have before you. I want to help resource you as we share God's word, and this emotions and family relationship series sort of emerged out of some parents saying, hey, it'd be good to hear about emotions as it relates to the training of our kids and what's going on in our family. And of course, this applies to all of us. I look at some of the trends happening with adults and their older parents in our society, and I say, you know, we're not handling emotions well. Even Christian families are not typically handling emotions well. And we need the tools of God's word and God's wisdom, and all of us benefit from this. And of course, then we're going to consider the emotional profile of a fool who rejects God. Who kind of just, you know, I'm going to do what I do because that's what I do. And I don't need God, and I don't need much help, and it's probably the other person's fault anyway. That's the end of the story, right? And then we're going to consider emotional training in wisdom from God that all of us need. And what does that entail? So we're beginning this new series from Proverbs 29:11. We're not going to say everything about this topic. That's even an understatement. There's so much here. I'm excited to continue in this series. But what we do see clearly here in Proverbs is this. The Lord is the difference maker. The Lord is the difference maker for each of us, for families and relationships. And of course, what a wonderful reminder that we end today with communion, the Lord's Supper, because the cross offers us forgiveness. For every failure in handling emotions, let's all raise our hands right now, every failure in handling emotions, maybe even this week, there is forgiveness in the cross. And there's power for our training. It's not like, oh, I'm the way I am, and I was messed up that way because so-and-so did this to me, and I'm going to continue doing that until I die. No, there's power for our training because of the cross of Jesus Christ. This is not a self-help sermon series. This is a God's hope sermon series. This is not a really discipline yourself with God sermon series. No, this is a power of the grace of God sermon series centered in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and that grace available to each of us in every one of these dynamics in our own lives and in every single relationship that we are in. So here's the contrast of today's verse. There are two, simplistically, types of people, as the Proverbs categorizes them. There's a fool who gives full vent to his spirit. That is highly reactive, emotionally expressive, unfiltered when anger hits or something else comes. And then there's something else. There's a wise man, a wise person. It's not a male necessarily. not even an adult necessarily, a wise human being who, because of the work of God, quietly holds it back and responds appropriately when handling emotions. That's the Lord's wisdom. So this applies to each of us, and it applies especially for parenting. Let's consider that first. We all need wisdom. This is the perspective of the Proverbs in the context of God's revelation and applied here in Proverbs 29:11 to handling emotion. We need that perspective that comes from God. God-centered wisdom is a foundation for parents training their children too. Training them to feel, training them to filter, training them to learn self-monitoring skills appropriately. Of course, we can all think of that, you know, toddler having a tantrum and say, well, that's not appropriate. Well, in a lot of ways, adults just do an adult version of that, don't they? Right? So, well, what happened? Maybe we didn't learn how to do those things and appropriately express and handle emotions. So we all need this, and it's never too late to start. And of course, starting early is a really good thing. That's what we're going to talk a little bit about here. In the Proverbs, skill in right living is what wisdom is. Centered in God, it comes from God. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1:7, is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. What is this fear of the Lord? It is admitting humbly, I need God. Yes, I need God. Apart from God, I am going to do a lousy job with my emotions. Probably debris all over the place, whatever my tendencies or propensities are. I need God, and so, but God is God, and I have this reverent awe for him as God, the amazing God. And of course, in the fullness of biblical revelation, this amazing God has revealed grace and mercy. Wow, unbelievable. So then I humbly come to God. God, I need you. I need your help. I need your instruction. And this instruction is practical. It's shaping the way I relate to other people, the way I relate to my emotions, the way I relate to situations in my family and other relationships. If anybody out there bugs you and pushes your buttons, you need God in dealing with that, right? So this is so relevant to all of us in every situation. And wisdom, centered in this admit my need for God and humble awe toward him, is where that begins. This wisdom, embracing God, is of course for adults. It's for grown-ups. It's for all of us with emotions. Apply then your heart to instruction. Apply it to hear the words of knowledge and God-centered wisdom. You know, we're moving toward family in this series and kind of leaning it into a little bit, helping and resourcing parents. But it all starts with every one of us as adults, because children will never learn what we have poorly modeled for them. Right? So if you want to help kids, even if you're not the parent of that child, if you're a grandparent, aunt and uncle, friend, neighbor, Christian community, right? The way we help them is not, those kids these days, they didn't know. We help them by modeling what is true and right and good. And to do that, we need to embrace wisdom from God and in God, and in part in shaping our emotions when we have strong emotions. This giving full vent thing or other unhealthy responses is real for all of us as adults and especially as parents. Let's talk about parents. Parents have a responsibility biblically to provide training in this wisdom so children embrace what is wise skill in right living, including in embracing this emotional self-monitoring. And Proverbs 22:6 is that classic text. Train up a child. And Ephesians 6:4 puts just a little different twist on that. Christian parents are to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Back in the 80s, there was a book written by Ann Ortland entitled, Children Are Wet Cement. Isn't that a great image? Where the cement, when it's wet, gets formed, it stays. We know this to be true. It's not that it can't be changed, but if you want your kids one day to avoid having to deal with recovering from all the damage of you not training them or poorly modeling for them, then start today with the wet cement and build into that wet cement the principles of biblical wisdom and God's grace. And I'm encouraging you there with that, not to throw some heavy thing on you, but to say, hey, the stakes are high and the gospel is good news. So help your kids and let's all do our best to shape that wet cement in the best possible way. Let's consider the emotional profile of a fool who rejects God. Proverbs 29:11 implies there's great harm. There's harm, short-term harm, long-term harm. Harm personally and harm relationally of rejecting God's wisdom. And the fool gives full vent to this, and then harm is resulting. This fool is not a person of low intelligence. In the Proverbs, the fool is one who rejects God and therefore remains untrained. And in this case, that untrained nature is expressed in the way they don't appropriately handle emotion, right? They're not respectful of the other person on the other side of that equation. They're like, no, I've got my feelings and that's that. And this person needs to embrace biblical wisdom rather than fully venting. Our kids need to be trained in this. Left to themselves, children are on a trajectory that will bring them and others harm. Left to themselves, our children on a trajectory that will bring them and others harm. They need instruction. The rod and reproof, and don't hear that as somehow abusive. No, it's just instructional. It's corrective. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Just a few verses after this one about the fool giving full vent to his spirit. And that fool giving full vent to his spirit is in the context of all the harmful effects of folly, rejecting God, contrasted with the blessing and good of wisdom, of embracing God. Here's a statement. My child will only be as in charge of his emotions in a healthy way as I am of mine. A lot of truth in that. My child will only be in charge of his emotion, handling them in a healthy way, as I am of mine. In other words, the first step is not the child needs, the first step is I need. I need God's help. I need his instruction. How do I embrace that for me so then I can help model and train and influence my child? And of course, it's like that way a lot with relationships too. We're having this conflict, this issue, this whatever, whoever. It's like, and if we're like, you, we're probably neglecting the reality of, hey, I need God's grace here. I need God's help here. I need God's wisdom here in handling my emotions so that I'm bringing to the table what is productive and good in this conversation. Right? So this principle that I'm charging parents with, it's coming back to me. I need it, as we all need it. Let's talk about emotional training and wisdom from God. This verse is pointing us to the results of a training process. How did this person get to that they're not giving full vent to their spirit? Training. A process that flows from the humble fear of the Lord applied to life, right? This is a call to training for us and training for children. It's a call for us as believers to embrace this training. And of course, in God's full revelation, with all the clarity of the cross and the completeness of the cross and the internal reality that we now have because of the cross that those Old Testament saints there in Proverbs never understood, we have this. this points to the gospel wisdom. The gospel gives us wisdom. There in 1 Corinthians, Paul's talking about that, right? The unbelievers say, that's foolishness. But we say, no, that's wisdom. They're going to say, no, I reject that. No, we say, that's the power of God. The gospel is wisdom. The gospel is the power that saves and the power that transforms. And then we embrace that. Titus 2:12, the gospel, the grace of God has appeared for salvation that trains us. It's not just say, oh, I'm going to heaven, I'm forgiven. Yes, you are, praise God. But now I'm being trained by the gospel. God's growing me, guiding me, shaping me. And even 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 commands us to be disciplined or trained in godliness. What's the most important thing for you as you deal with your emotion? What's the most important thing for you as you deal with that hard conversation? What's the most important thing for you in helping your child in embracing wisdom from God? Okay, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to take you to the airplane when you get on the plane. And the reminder that comes every time every one of us has traveled on the plane, as the flight attendants tell us, if in the event of an emergency and the oxygen pressure drops and the cabin is lacking oxygen, a mask will drop and oxygen will flow through the tube on the mask into your lungs, and you must put on your own mask first. So that's the put on your own mask first. The mask is the wisdom of God. The mask flow of oxygen is the gospel. So when you're in those situations of defensiveness and pride kicking in into, oh, I'm going to go after this one, or whatever it is, or your tendency to give full vent, I need the mask of God's wisdom. I need the oxygen of the gospel. And to humbly say, Lord, I need your help here. Lord, I'm going to admit my faults here. Lord, give me courage here. And take that in and let the oxygen of the gospel guide and shape your response. And yes, what I'm telling you to do, I don't do naturally. I need to do the same thing I'm telling you, or I'm going to move into all kinds of things that are throwing debris all over the place unless I put on the mask of God's wisdom and take in the oxygen of the power and love of Jesus. So left to ourselves, we're all foolish. Titus 3:3. We're all foolish. But there's another way, which is the gospel. Let's look at Proverbs 29:11 just from the vantage point of kind of seeing this process. A wise person, how did he or she get there? They humbly turn to God. They humbly trust in God. They humbly are being trained by God for handling this emotion. The Hebrew of holds it back means to be soothing or bringing calm. It's actually a Hebrew word that's used of God bringing calm to the waves, the torrent of the sea in Psalm 65:7, 89:10. That's, you're being calmed, trained to and embracing calm in response rather than reactivity. The importance of this is highlighted in Proverbs 16, verse 32. In Proverbs 16, verse 32, kind of a parallel text to this one, look at the importance of this wisdom. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. You think, oh, that guy, he's strong, he's rich, he's powerful. No, you know what's better than that? Being slow to anger. He who rules his spirit, he who's not prone to reactivity, but trained in self-control, is better than he who takes a city. That's better than big-time victories. Just being able to, I'm going to respond here and now in a way that is good and God-honoring. So this other way of Jesus isn't, I've got this, I'm really good, I'm disciplined, those other people need it, or I'm better than, they are like that, well, they're that, I can show you that. No, it is not pretending, it's not stuffing, it is admitting my emotions. whatever it is, wherever it is. It's being aware of and admitting my reactivity, my tendencies to do whatever is not correct. To accept God's offer of forgiveness in Jesus, and again today say, thank you, Jesus. I'm freed from shame and guilt by the power of the cross. I've been made right with God forever because of his eternal purpose and the finished work of Jesus. And now, even despite my sin, I am his, and I'm fully accepted in him. Now, God, I need your help. I need your help in this training process today. I need your help now with this and that. And then I enter into actively doing my part. And I do that again and again and again. Every relationship, every interaction, every counter. I keep at the training process. This is a process that is continuing. Thousands upon thousands of times in our lives, maybe tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of times, we need to embrace this training. And you say, Pastor Bruce, are you serious? Is that what it is? Let me give you an illustration. That is not tedious repetition. Here's one thing I know. I plugged into Google, how many times does a fairly avid golfer swing a golf club in their life? And I have swung a golf club hundreds of thousands of times, and I still enjoy it every time I do. Every time I go to Topgolf, every shot I hit, I see it as part of a process of training, right? And with us, with this training, it's not how good we can hit a golf shot, it's how we glorify God. It's how we put the gospel on display. It's how we grow in a way that is reflecting him and pointing others to him. So don't become, tired of this. Say, wow, here's another opportunity to learn about Jesus. All these people in my life, another opportunity to glorify God, to put the gospel on display, to embrace the right response in emotions and handling them, and to model that for others around me. Keep going to Jesus and keep looking for ways to be trained by him as all these emotions show up in family, relationships, and everywhere else. And the Lord's Supper is a great place for us to celebrate that. Christ died to offer us this forgiveness where we've handled emotions poorly. He offers us fresh starts, even in all of our bad responses. He offers us grace and resources for our families, for relationships, for doing our part. In Christ, there's wisdom. He is called the one in whom all the riches and treasures of wisdom dwell. There's wisdom applied to our lives, given for our encouragement, for those who turn to him, and for all that training and handling emotions by the power of his work. We're going to celebrate that as the conclusion of today's service. And we want to invite each believer in Jesus to this sacred remembrance and celebration, to receive the elements with sincere examination and faith. Please come. Please reflect. Please rejoice in him. Please be renewed by his grace. Let's pray. Team, can you come? Lord Jesus, thank you for your finished work on the cross. Thank you for grace, undeserved grace that comes from you, not only for forgiveness, but for help in dealing with our emotions in a way that honors you. Lord, guide in each life, each heart, each family, each relationship, each struggle, each issue. Lord, give us, just as we come and celebrate the finished work of Jesus on the cross, Lord, give us your Spirit's direction, encouragement, strength to take these truths, Lord, and live them out in a way for your glory. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.